Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Come on, let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Gray Bar Sports Open Live. Gray Bar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Here we go on a Wednesday night. Welcome in. It is a Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Great to have you with us this evening. We're going to be with you for a while because we've got Sports Open Line for about the next hour and a half or so, and then that will lead right into pregame coverage of the Cardinals and the Mariners, and then I'll be back with you late tonight for postgame coverage as well. So you've got a lot of me here over the next little while. If you want to get in contact with the program, there are a couple ways for you to do so. You can call or text 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you call or text. You can also tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air, MattPauley on air. As obviously you heard the news, and this is one of those days where there's a major national news story going on. If we need to break in for any reason, if anything happens coming out of Utah, Michael Calhoun is in the newsroom and he is ready to take over. So we will defer to him at any moment if need be. But other than that, we're going to try to talk some sports here over the next hour and a half or so. Cardinals back at it this evening. They're trying to salvage a game in the three-game series against the Mariners. We knew this was going to be a tough trip for this team coming in, playing a really good Seattle team, and not just a really good Seattle team, but a really good Seattle team that's fighting for their playoff lives right now. This is if you've been with me for the years that I've been doing this, you know that a term that I use a lot at this time of the year when we see teams playing games where the stakes are different, I talk about the games not being equally yoked, where, with all due respect to the Cardinals and what they are trying to accomplish this year, it is different at this point than what Seattle's trying to accomplish. Seattle's that's a really good baseball team over there, and they are built as a team that could maybe go on a bit of a playoff run. So the fact that they're where they're at right now in the standings, and these games mean so much for them, just making sure that they secure a spot into the postseason. Right now in the American League West, they are in second place. They're one game back of the Houston Astros. And then when it comes to the wild card spot in the American League, the Mariners are holding the final wild card spot, but they only hold it by one game because the Texas Rangers are hard charging right now, playing some really, really, really good baseball. So Seattle's got to be locked in. They can't allow themselves to lose any winnable games at this point because that could potentially result in them missing the playoffs. And this would be a team that, again, could go on a playoff run missing the playoffs. By the way, the Texas Rangers, how good are they playing baseball right now? They just got done sweeping the Brewers. And maybe is that a sign of things to come for the Brewers, that maybe they peak too early and they're starting to fall off a little bit? I don't know. They've been really good pretty much the vast majority of the season. And that's a Texas team that also obviously is really playing for something. I know in Milwaukee they very much do want to get that top spot in the National League. And the way it sits right now, the overall league standings in the National League, even with the Brewers losing three in a row and losing six of their last 10, they still have a three-game lead on the Philadelphia Phillies for the top spot in the National League. Phillies have been playing some pretty good baseball here recently, so that's going to be something to watch as well. Like the storylines that are going to start to play out here over the final 3 weeks of the season, kind of going over some of those, but they directly intersect with the Cardinals, right? Because the Cardinals are playing Seattle right now, and Seattle's right in the middle of that wild card in American League West matchup. And then when the Cardinals are done today, up next, they are going to head to Milwaukee, and they're going to open up a three-game weekend series against the Brewers. So the Cardinals have the opportunity to impact the Brewers, and they're trying to grab that top spot. It always, I say this over and over and over, it always worries me when really good teams have lost a few games in a row, and then you're playing them because you know that that downturn that they're in is not going to last. So I, all things being equal, I would have rather the Rangers not swept through the Brewers over the last 3 days, because you know that's just going to get Milwaukee that much more locked in for the Cardinals this weekend. So that's why when this road trip started and we said that this was going to be a challenging and tough road trip, that's kind of the implications that go along with it and why it's such a challenging road trip, because you've got teams that are really, really playing for something. The Mariners playing for their playoff lives, and the Brewers trying to grab that top spot in the National League to set them up for a possible long playoff run. And then a couple teams, the Mariners and Brewers, who really do believe that they have an opportunity to have that deep playoff run. This is what we've got coming up on the program today. We are going to be joined by Bernie Miklas in about 5 minutes or so. We'll get his thoughts on the Cardinals and where they're at right now, and we'll get his thoughts on the Mason Wynn thing. So if you listen to me, you've heard me. You know, we've had long conversations about Mason Wynn and whether or not he should be playing or not. The exact injury he's been dealing with came out yesterday, but he had previously publicly spoken about the fact that he was likely going to need an operation when the season came to an end. Now we know all the details on that. He's going to continue to try to play, although he's not in the lineup today. Wanted to be, was unable to do so. So we'll talk with Bernie in a few minutes. And then Paul Dolan, who's a MLS season pass game analyst, he's going to be on the call for City SC this upcoming weekend. We'll talk with him. We'll get his thoughts on how in the world City did not win this past weekend. Like, that is, whew, they played a man up most of the game. I believe they put the second most shots up in the history of MLS. The expected goals for what they did was like 4 or 5 goals, and they still ended up having a tie. I mean, that is, there is no worse feeling tie than what City had this past weekend. How does that happen? And where does the team go from there? We'll talk with Paul Dolan about that coming up later on this hour. Again, if you want to join us on the show, you can do so by calling or texting 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900, or you can tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, MattPauley on air. We're back with Bernie Miklas coming up in just a moment or so. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. I've got you for another hour and 10, hour 15 minutes or so, and then we'll get into St. Louis Cardinals baseball after that. It is Wednesday. We move them around a lot because we don't do a lot of Wednesday shows, but we actually have a Wednesday night show. So Bernie Miklas is in his normal Wednesday night 6:20 slot, brought to you by Saliga Heating and Cooling. Bernie, always appreciate the time. How are you?
Yeah, man. Good to be with you, Matt.
So Cardinals have lost a couple games in a row. Matthew Liberatore yesterday seemingly lost that the velo kind of in the middle of the game. I'm not one to – I just think this is the case of a guy being pushed more than he's ever been pushed before, and you just got to get him through the year and get him into the offseason. But for you, is there anything that startles you at all about what we're seeing from him?
No, because I thought he bounced back for a couple, three starts. It was looking good, but you nailed it. I mean – you know, he pitched a lot of innings early. I think if Ollie and Marmol had to do it all over again, they might not have taken him so deep into games. But, you know, this thing happens all the time where, you know, young guys are not accustomed to the workload their first time as a full, you know, first time as a full-time starter in the major leagues. They'll hit that rookie wall. He's not a rookie, but you know what I mean. And they've got to push through it. But once they push through it, it doesn't mean that, that part's over forever. You know, it's still part of his first season. And I don't think that we'll see a real push through this fatigue or whatever you want to call it until next year, because he'll have an entire offseason to prepare. He'll learn from this. He'll know what he has to work on to get stronger and to maintain that stamina better. And I'm sure the Cardinals, being as smart as they are with, you know, Matt Pierpont and others that have been brought in, they'll come up with a great plan for Liberatore in the offseason. So I just think it's one of the things, it's like you just got to get to next year and then you see what's up. But I think he's really talented, and I think he's competitive, and I think he's smart. It's just that natural buildup. You got to get to a certain innings plateau to where you get over that and then everything feels normal. You know, it just doesn't feel normal now.
It does frustrate me a little bit that when much earlier in the season, when we're bringing up the idea that, hey, do you want to be careful with Liberatore a little bit because he's never done this before, when that question was presented, it wasn't just like rejected. It was almost like, no, no worries at all. Why would he even be thinking about this? And then months later, well, this is why you could have been thinking about this.
No, that's exactly right. And I've pointed out a couple times, although I never made a big deal about it, you know, there was a point in time like after – well, through his first 10 starts when Liberatore was outstanding, you know, he was way up there among major league starting pitchers. I mean, like literally top 10 in terms of average innings per start. I mean, he like jumped right into the deep end of the pool. Like they did. Listen, on one hand, you don't want to see guys babied, so to speak. But yeah, you also don't want to like, you know, turn a guy loose as if he's got a whole history of like, you know, 190 inning seasons. You know, you might, maybe a little more moderation would have done well. But I agree with you. I was a little surprised that Ollie was so dismissive of people having even mild concerns about the early workload as far as innings. How many innings?
We've also talked a lot about the Mason Wynn situation, where he's trying to play through a bit of injury. Now we know exactly what the injury is. It's a meniscus tear. They're continuing to say that he can't injure it anymore. He's not in the lineup again today. What is the motivation for this, Bernie, really just Wynn wanting to be out there every single day? Or is there more to it? Because at the surface level, I think a lot of people who are saying it doesn't make a lot of sense for him to keep playing, like that, there's a lot more common sense to that than, hey, let's just watch this guy go play every day if he can.
You know, it's interesting. I remember a few weeks ago, maybe 2-3 weeks ago, you were saying, and I agreed with you, by the way, that you really admire players who want to play hurt. You know, they want to help their team. They're willing to suck it up. We all admire their spirit and their competitive character. But I'm a little skeptical now about this because, you know, so much has been made about it. And I read, Katie Wu's piece today, and I think John Denton's as well. And I don't know if there's John Denton. I apologize for that. They were talking about it so much, and I'm talking about Mason Wynn was being quoted so much, and I know Ollie's been quoted a lot about, well, you know, our doctors don't think there's any way that, you know, they can make this will get worse, so there'll be any more damage, and blah, 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 blah. Well, I'm going to have to see that. And I'm going to have to be shown that before I buy into that. Because, you know, covering all the sports I've covered for a long time, a torn meniscus is not a minor deal. I'm not saying the surgery is as major as a torn ACL or something, or not, where whatever the knee ligament is, where you blow out your knee. I'm not saying it's like real major surgery, but it's, but let's not dismiss this as it's like some little thing. It's no big deal. Quick fix. He's good to go. I'd like to talk to a sports doctor about this or do some research, because I'm pretty convinced that when you have a torn meniscus, I think there is a possibility of making things worse. And I'm not really sure what the motivation is for Ali and for Wynn. You and I and Kevin Wheeler have talked about this a lot. You know, at some point you got to be. You can't live for the moment. You got to think of a bigger picture, and this is supposed to be a so-called runway season, and you got to prevent, like Brendan Donovan's injury occurred, the groin injury, and he even tried to play through that, and they had to shut him down. He's missed a lot of time because it stems from an earlier injury, because they wouldn't shut him down. He kept playing through it. He overcompensated for it. Then he strained a groin muscle. You know, Arenado with the broken finger. He now says, well, he should have shut it down and gone on the IL, because it kind of changed everything with his arm motion and the way his hand placement and all that stuff. And he hurt his shoulder. So now we're hearing the same thing. And if they had taken care of Arenado, it would have been a very brief thing and no big deal. Same with Donovan. But they pushed through it and it got worse. So that's why I say, chances are the Cardinals will be absolutely right. But given the what happened with Donovan and Arenado, I don't feel comfortable just assuming it's going to work out that way. I mean, because we've seen two prominent players try to play through pain because they wanted to stay in the lineup. The manager said yes. And this has been going on in the Cardinals as long as I've been covering the team, not so much with Tony La Russa, but with Mike Matheny, Mike Schilt, now Ali Marmol. And what I don't understand is, if it's all about wanting a guy to be able to there to help your team, if you run him into the ground and his performance suffers, how is it helping the team when he keeps playing? And frankly, he's not any good. Mason Wynn can still play defense well, but he's lost a step. Like, his defensive run saved is not as high as it was. He's not moving quite as well. But since the start of June, he's hitting like 240 and it's got like a 611 OPS. So my point is, what exactly are you gaining by playing guys like Donovan, Arenado, now Wynn, who are trying to gut it out and play through injuries, but their performance when they're trying to do this goes from what used to be really, really good, and then all of a sudden, frankly, it's terrible. So how does that help the Cardinals?
So, and that'll lead me to this. I'll wrap up with you on this. Anytime it gets brought up, hey, how much of him continuing to play every day has to do with him trying to go out and win a gold glove, that is always very much dismissed publicly. But privately, internally, do you think that plays into this at all?
Oh, I'm with you. I got to think that it's a factor. They're never going to say it, but I think it's a factor. And I just hope that what they really believe, that Mason Wynn, he's at no additional risk of making this worse. I really, really hope that they turn out to be right, because he's a very key part of their future, which is another reason why you don't want to take any chances right now and turn a minor injury into a major injury.
He is Bernie Miklas. You can read him and also watch him at STL Sports Central. His piece today, he goes through all the starting pitchers, so including Matthew Liberatore, we talked about, but did a keeper trade with the evaluation of all the starting. Are you going to do that kind of across the board with different position groups?
Well, I did last week. I did every position player, and it was pretty comprehensive. I got a lot of good feedback for it. So I did the starting pitchers today. I'll probably hit up on the relievers coming soon.
Okay, very good. Well, people can read that, of course. I'm just seeing that. I missed that piece from you last week.
That's Bernie, all right, brother. Man, I don't expect you to keep up with all this, all the junk I'm doing.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. Got you for another hour or so. We'll lead you right into St. Louis Cardinals baseball tonight. Cardinals are matched up against the Mariners in Seattle, trying to salvage a game in this series before heading to Milwaukee for a weekend series. This weekend, City SC, they're going to be matched up against Montreal. They are coming off a tie against FC Dallas, but it certainly did not feel like a tie, and going to be on the call this weekend. Paul Dolan, former Vancouver Whitecap and Canadian national team goalkeeper. He is a member of the Canadian Soccer Hall of Fame, and you watch him and you listen to him on Apple TV and MLS Season Pass. Paul joins us right now. Paul, thank you for taking some time with us today. How are you?
Whether they want to listen or not, I'll be on the call this weekend, but yeah, I'm looking forward to the game. You know, we've called a lot of Montreal games actually this year, and we called the St. Louis game that was in Vancouver just a couple of weeks ago, maybe the most talking points of any game that St. Louis has played this year. So both teams out of the playoffs, but still lots of interesting storylines, I think.
What did you make of what happened this past weekend where City played a man up for most of the game? I believe the shots on goal was the second most attempted in the history of the league, yet they come out with a 1-1 tie against FC Dallas. I mean, everybody associated with City really said that felt like a loss, not a tie.
Yeah, and I think there's so many of those games this year where St. Louis plays well. You know, David Critchley talks about some of the metrics that they continue to win games in on paper, but just can't get over the finishing line, just can't win that game or get the point that they probably deserved in Vancouver, as another example a couple of weeks ago. And that's probably the difference between a good, young, confident team like we saw 3 years ago, right, in the expansion year, versus one now that just they can't get a break one way or another. And they're missing some pieces. I mean, there's no question about it. But the game against Dallas was incredible. For the goalkeeper to be sent off so early in that match obviously led towards St. Louis having the domination and possession and chance creation, but the finishing just wasn't there again. And you have to give credit to the goalkeeper comes in, Jackson, who's just standing on his head. You know, it was an incredible performance by him. But again, some of the saves were made easy because they were right at him or a lot of shots going high and over. So, you know, it's just one or two things that get cleaned up or one or two players that come in that can maybe give St. Louis that boost. But there will be some retooling that needs to happen next year to improve what's not a good enough team right now. And the standings don't lie regardless of how many shots you get in the game or what the field stats are and data and so on. It's all about the results at the end of the day.
Yeah, and you look at the last four, and you referenced the Vancouver matchup and then what happened this past weekend. A 1-1 tie this past weekend and then one goal losses all by a 3-2 score in each of their three matches prior to that. And what you're saying is right on, but every single week the narrative is, well, they're just, you know, cleaning up this one thing and this other thing away from, you know, coming away with a win and putting together a much better effort, so on and so forth, yet every week the narrative kind of stays the same. At some point, is it just that the team isn't capable of picking up and cleaning up those things, and this just is kind of who they are?
Yeah, no, you're right, because it's not injuries anymore, is it, outside of Cedric Teuchert? He's really the only player that you can say we're probably missing, and it wasn't as if he was having a banner season either. I like what I've seen from Marcel Hartl. I like what I've seen from Pompeo when he came in. He scored a beautiful goal. Klaus seems to have picked things up, and he's scoring goals at a pretty good clip right now. But outside of Edward Leuven, I look through the rest of the squad, and you probably think there could be changes in almost every position. You know, I like what I've seen from Vollen. I like that he's able to cross a great ball in. And we saw that time and again, didn't we? So many crosses against Dallas, just no conversion at the other end. And obviously you've got a world-class goalkeeper in Roman Berkey. But there's enough pieces there that still need to be filled, I think, with reinforcements in the offseason that you could say, yeah, they're just they're a team that's not quite good enough right now on paper and obviously on the field.
In a perfect world, you would have with so many huge decisions coming up this offseason, you would have that final decision maker in place starting to watch this and look through those things. They still need to hire a sporting director, and then they need to hire a new head coach, and then they can maybe start looking at players and decisions like that. How much does it put them back that they are going to end this season and they are not going to immediately have their sporting director in place?
It's a good point, because things can't happen necessarily overnight. I like what St. Louis did from day one. I was a big Lutz Fan and Steel fan. Fun fact, I was actually his goalkeeper coach when he was in Vancouver for one of his many, many stints on all the different continents around the world. So I knew him quite well, and I believed in what they were trying to do from day one in the way that they had a firm system and style, you know, the Red Bull way of pressing, and wanted to bring in managers that that could enforce that, and a style of play that everyone was on the same page with. And it really worked in year one. But, you know, there's some things over the next couple of years where there were misses, and I think maybe a bit of a stubbornness in not bringing in designated players and understanding the value of having players that can give you just that little bit more, albeit at a cost. And so now you're going to have a sporting director that comes in when that decision is made, that is probably going to want to go in a different direction. And so I think you're going to have to go through a couple of years of a rebuild. It doesn't necessarily happen overnight, although you can point to year one as an opportunity to maybe recreate that, albeit, remember, St. Louis City, it wasn't just 1 year of MLS that got them up and running. It was the previous year before that as well that gave them some legs. But San Diego's done it in 1 year in MLS, and perhaps it could happen again if they get lightning in a bottle.
Did Lutz take coaching well when you were his coach?
You know, Lutz, I mean, he's phenomenal in terms of his personality, but it's not like I was telling him what to do. He obviously was an outstanding goalkeeper, and I'm just trying to keep him as sharp as possible. But yeah, it was fun times. We're talking 15, 16, 17, probably 20 years ago now. Time flies, but an incredible character. If you haven't read his book, that's something I recommend for sure.
How much do you enjoy, because you've done so much as a player and as a coach, and you've been doing the broadcasting thing for a while now, how much do you enjoy being on that side of the game, doing games, doing interviews like these, just everything that goes along with being a soccer broadcaster?
You know, it's something I always wanted to do, even when I was playing. I actually went to broadcasting school as well, so I didn't just dive into being an analyst right after. In fact, I did some play-by-play for Fox Soccer Channel when they were doing USL games. So I think just kind of, you know, getting those feelers in early and enjoying doing that and staying involved in the game and meeting all sorts of different people along the way. I'm loving what we're doing right now with Apple II, broadcasting every game. And so I've really enjoyed it. And the chance to speak to the coaches and players as well, giving you insight that you might not otherwise get, is a big part of the enjoyment factor for me.
He is Paul Dolan. You mentioned just everything going on Apple TV. There's not a lot of time left in the season, but for people who are listening who have not yet taken the plunge, especially if you're a City fan, now may be the opportunity for you to latch on to another team that you can follow along in the playoffs. Tell folks about everything at Apple TV and MLS Season Pass and what makes the product really so unique and so very cool for MLS soccer fans.
Well, you know what? If I'm not mistaken, I think there's a month free coming up. So if you haven't had the opportunity, and yes, St. Louis maybe isn't playing as well as we've seen in past years, but you do get a chance to see every other team towards the playoff run. And one thing to me that really stands out is the picture quality is amazing. You know, it is that much better than what you see on network television, and that you can on demand watch any single game at any single time. And the highlight packages, as well as some of the features. You know, I really like the instant replay feature, which Andrew Wiebe does a great job of. And I know that a lot of St. Louis fans weren't too happy with some of the calls that he made on his thoughts on the game in Vancouver in particular. Like I said before, probably the one game this year that had more contentious decisions go against St. Louis than any other game this season. But it's an interesting show to watch on Apple TV as well. And there's so many different features that focus just on MLS that MLS Season Pass is definitely something that I would encourage you if you haven't already got.
He is a Paul Dolan, member of the Canadian Soccer Hall of Fame. Also, kind of a fun side note, youngest goalkeeper to play in a FIFA World Cup game, did that in Mexico in 1986. Paul, really appreciated this conversation. Enjoy the game this weekend, and hopefully we'll catch up again down the line.
Yeah, I'd love to be on again. Really enjoyed it. Take care.
All right, thank you very much. That's Paul Dolan joining us. We appreciate him spending a few moments with us. We're going to take a break. When we return, we'll kind of put a wrap on this hour number one. Hour number two, we'll be leading you into the Cardinals and the Mariners pregame coverage. Also, we're going to be back with our weekly conversations with Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes, courtesy of our sister station in Kansas City. So you'll hear that in the 7 o'clock hour as well. So a lot still to get to. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Just a few minutes left here in hour number one of the program. We'll get the 7 o'clock news, obviously, from a national standpoint today. There's been a lot going on, so we'll hear from CBS News and then locally Michael Calhoun putting a local spin on everything. And like I've said, if anything does break with the news that has happened today, we'll break in as well with it. But, yeah, we'll have news here in just a few minutes right here on KMOX. So Cardinals tonight, they wrap up their series against the Mariners. Mason Wynn is not in the lineup. The starting shortstop tonight is going to be Thomas Sajesi. Reportedly, Wynn was hopeful to be in the lineup today. That's according to Katie Wu from The Athletic, who is there. But Wynn was unable to go, so it's going to be Sajesi playing at shortstop today. It was revealed yesterday that what is going on with Wynn is a meniscus tear. Now, if you listen a lot to KMOX and you listen a lot to this show and to Redbird Rush Hour and the Cardinals pregames that I do, there was a day, I don't know, maybe 2 weeks ago, somewhere around there during the baseball season, everything kind of runs into each other. But Mason Wynn said something to us in the clubhouse one day where he said, you know, based off the imaging, there's probably going to have to be an operation at the end of the year, in the offseason. And those weren't the exact – I'm paraphrasing. I could go find the audio if I needed to. It didn't really matter. But that's essentially what he said. So ever since – you don't say that as an athlete unless you're really sure that there is going to be surgery coming in the off season. And a lot of guys get, you know, small cleanup surgeries after seasons get over with. I'm not trying to tell you that surgery's no big deal. It's always a big deal. But in terms of sports and pro sports and athletes and everything, a lot of guys get stuff cleaned up. So we didn't know the extent of the injury. We didn't know what injury it was. But if you were paying attention and following along, you did know that there was going to be some type of operation for when the season got over. But they continue to say that with whatever the injury was, that there was no possibility of injuring it anymore by him continuing to play. And then we find out yesterday it's a meniscus tear. And of all the injuries you can have, a meniscus tear is one that does give you the best chance to bounce back pretty quickly, and this shouldn't impact his offseason that much, and he should be able to be good to go when spring training gets started and everything. But I do have to wonder, and this is what Bernie and I talked about earlier this hour, when Brendan Donovan has a groin injury, because he was compensating for a foot. When Nolan Arenado's got a shoulder injury because he was overcompensating for a finger. Well, what can happen in these final 3 weeks if Mason Wynn is overcompensating for a meniscus tear, for a knee issue? And that's my worry. I'm not a doctor. I don't play one on the radio. And I've got no reason to not believe that there's not the possibility that he's not going to injure it more, but injuring something else as a result of it, that's what does worry me a little bit. We'll talk more about that after the 7 o'clock news. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.